and here to talk about both of those subjects from the Baltimore Banner. So on the Window Nation guest hotline, let's welcome back to the show, Childs Walker. Childs, good morning. How are you feeling today?
Hey, good morning, guys. I've already been out at the track this morning and come home, so I've had something close to a full day already, but that's the nature of this week when I'm in horse racing mode. So.
Yeah, only 9 horses in this Preakness field. Of course, there's going to be no Triple Crown winner, but the River Thames, and of course, if this horse was from Baltimore, it'd be the River Thames, as we all know, but it's the River Thames. It was Todd Pletcher, 9-2 Journalism comes off as the favorite right now. But what about this horse? I don't want to say coming out of nowhere, but maybe coming in here to make things interesting Saturday, 6:50-ish.
Yeah, River Thames is kind of an interesting case because his trainer, Todd Pletcher, is one of the best in the sport. He has won more money than any trainer in history. Has never won the Preakness and doesn't run in the Preakness very often because his whole program is about getting his 3-year-olds ready to run in the Derby. Well, they didn't do that with this horse. They intentionally skipped the Derby to bring a fresh horse at the Preakness and, you know, try to kind of snatch one that way. And, you know, it's a very consistent horse. Maybe doesn't have the brilliant speed of some of the others in the field, certainly not as accomplished as Journalism, but we've seen that formula work very well, you know, for Todd Pletcher's rival in New York, Chad Brown. He's won 2 Preaknesses basically, you know, using this exact same program. So, you know, that's going to be an interesting choice on Saturday, but it's a fairly wide open field behind Journalism. So, you know, as a bettor, there's a lot of intriguing paths one could take.
Yeah. American Promise kind of looking at him in the Derby. That didn't go all that great, but it's the last Preakness before the rebuild. It goes to Laurel next year. What are some of the amenities that are going to be going on here when they redo it? And since it's the last one for a couple of years, Childs, what's the big old send-off going to be like for people that look to make it out there?
Well, I mean, it's unfortunate that the last Preakness at the old place doesn't have the Derby winner. That's not ideal. But, you know, and it seems like it's going to be a rainy day to at least some degree, right? I mean, it's you know, it's hard to know if there's going to be a let-up at the right time, but it's not going to be a perfect weather day either. But look, the Preakness has always been a little bit of a messy event. I mean, some of the most memorable ones happened on, you know, rainy days where the track was a mess. So, you know, that doesn't necessarily take away from it. It's interesting. There's not going to be a huge festive send-off. I mean, even though it's not only the last one at Pimlico as we know it, it's the 150th running. So, I mean, there's, you know, it's a time to talk about a lot of history and, you know, toss around your favorite Preaknesses, but I don't think that's going to be sort of heavy in the air in any apparent way on Saturday. Now, there are a lot of people, I mean, you know, people every year, they, you know, the out-of-town writers come in and talk about how Pimlico might be the worst venue for a major American sporting event. We all know the problems. At the same time, there are people who've been working there for many, many years, and they love it. It has sort of a homely charm, right? I mean, and so there are people who will miss it. It'll be a little bit sad, but you know, people have so many hopes invested in the new place that it's going to be a big couple of years for the Maryland industry. I mean, there's no question about it.
All right, Childs. What is the loss of Adarius Washington going to do to the Ravens?
Yeah, switching gears suddenly. It's a significant deal. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, first of all, it stinks for the kid because he's dealt with a lot of injuries before this. You know, in some ways, that was the biggest question hanging over him. Had such a good year last year, made big plays in big games. And even though they draft Malachi Starks in the first round, I think clearly the thought was, you know, we already trust Ardarius back there. Having Malachi Starks on hand gives us another versatile guy. That opens up all kinds of things that we can go back to doing with Kyle Hamilton. Well, now that's obviously thrown into massive uncertainty with Ardarius not being available. You know, Malachi Starks is going to have to be relied upon more from day one. Kyle Hamilton is probably going to have to be, you know, that security guy at the back end more than they would ideally like. And they're also going to have to go out and sign a veteran, I would think. You know, whether that's somebody who can really lift the defense or not. I mean, you have to be skeptical about that. I mean, the guys who are out there are still out there for a reason. So, I mean, it's a whole chain reaction that is certainly not ideal for the back end of the defense, which they were feeling really good about coming out of the draft.
I think Childs, they've got a guy. I think TJ Tampa is going to be the guy, you know, especially because, you know, they wanted to use Adarius, you know, nickel dime and those types of things. And that's what TJ Tampa does well. Plus, he's bigger than Adarius was, and he's got great ball skills and he can catch the ball. So I think TJ Tampa will be that guy, and I think it'll be an upgrade.
I think it's a good idea, but I mean, that's not, there's no guarantee there though, right? I mean, you still, don't you, I mean, if it's you, don't you still have to go in and get a veteran that you know could play if, you know, if it comes down to it? I mean, I like the TJ Tampa idea. I mean, certainly, you know, you hear optimistic things about him from John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta. At the same time, I mean, that's a bet. It's not a certainty. So that's kind of where they are. That's, this just creates an uncertainty that they did not want going into the in the offseason program.
Childs Walker, Baltimore Banner, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. All right, last thing for you, Childs. We'll circle back to the Preakness Stakes, 150th running of it. Give us a triple, a super. If you want to go full-on NCAA tournament bracket, mock draft, first-round NFL, pick the whole field now. Just give us a couple of horses that, to you, stand out outside of journalism in River Thames right now.
Yeah, I guess on the idea that it probably is going to be a messy track to at least some degree, I like the two relatively untested speed horses. That would be Clever Again, trained by Steve Asperson, and that would be Goal Oriented, trained by Bob Baffert. Of course, everybody knows Bob Baffert. Again, not long resumes with either one of those. I think Goal Oriented has only run twice, and I think Clever Again has only run three times. But on an off track, you know, a lot of times the horse that can get out cleanly and get in front can maybe just control the whole race from the front, because, you know, you're not behind a bunch of other horses getting mud kicked in your face. So if I'm looking for a horse that's not one of the two or three favorites to bet, I'd be looking at those two.